Tim, come up here. You recognize the guy with the long hair? Yeah. Come on.
Gone tomorrow.
When did you get home?
I got home Tuesday night, Wednesday morning.
Tuesday night, Wednesday morning?
Yep.
We praise God for that. And praise God for taking care of Si and the boys. I was thinking of something I wanted to ask you on a serious note. Since you just got home, most of us probably were praying for you by name every day. And how would you, though, help us to pray for our soldiers and the people over there, more specifically than just... Because sometimes I get caught up in praying very general things. You know, I don't know on the ground. How would you guide us in prayer for our soldiers and the people that are there that you're interacting with? How would you suggest that for us?
I'd say two really powerful things to pray for is obviously their families back at home. I think that's a real big problem for them to stay connected and keep it together with being away from each other, but also pray for success in their missions. There's a constant operations and missions going on out there on a lot of different levels. Pray for their success, so their safety and even if it's the littlest thing like clearing a route. Or protecting a guard shift at a base. You know, that pray for their missions, and you can encompass all those things. So pray for success in whatever missions and operations that they're doing, because that's where people are dying and people are getting hurt. And that's the most important thing for them, what they got going on.
Okay. So. Well, let's pray that Tim will stand in the gap for us this morning. Father, we do come before you, praising you and glorifying and honoring you, Lord. We thank you that Tim has returned to us safely and many others. And I thank you that. I thank you for watching over Si and the boys while they were gone. Father, I thank you for the reunion that they have. Lord, I don't think they take it for granted. And Lord, I thank you for that today. It's a gift to be with family. And Tim was being reunited with the body this morning, and we thank you for that this morning. And Lord, as he shared his heart, these things that he shared with us, Lord, we do pray for the families that get represented in our men and women that are across the globe serving faithfully day in and day out. God, the evil one wants to divide. And Lord, when they are separated as a family, Lord, I believe the evil is full bore going at it to divide families. Lord, I am praying for their protection. Lord, spiritually and physically, God, we do pray that what they put their hand to as they serve our country in foreign lands, that they would be successful. And Father, you would guide them. May they be wise and discerning. And Lord, there's a lot of them that don't even know that the reason they're successful is because of you. And Lord, I would pray today for that to be known, that they would understand there's a sovereign God watching over them that cares about them, loves them, and has a purpose and a plan. Lord, I pray for encouragement for our men and women across the world today as they serve our country. Blessings on them and protection over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Tim. Terry, why don't you tell us a little bit about how dance camp this week? In fact, probably some of them don't even know we had dance camp this week, truthfully, until they see all the glitter on the floor and go, why is there glitter all over our floor this morning? They looked like they were having a great time when I saw them. I think that on Friday she had what were you calling that on Friday? Performance in here, and the girls loved it, and they're having a great time. So just want to let you know about that. Let's see, this afternoon, right after the service, in case some of you guys go in the other building and you don't know, that right after the service, Dusty and Regina and Dr. O'Keary are going to be having a meeting for the McRae team. So if you're interested, anything you want to say about that, Regina? Where are you guys going to meet at? Right in here? Okay. Okay. But if you haven't been before, or you haven't been talking to Rick or Regina and Dusty about it, it'd be a good chance to come with your questions and see what's going on. August the 4th is the trip, though, just to help you recall them. Okay? All right, John, we got a little PowerPoint this morning. All right. Well, let me pray for us while John puts that up. We're going to be looking at one verse today. And that's not the verse You know, John, it looks even sillier up there on the big screen than it did on the little computer the other day. It could be. That, you know, Forrest, the truth of the matter is probably there's lots of days that to me. And that's why we're going to discuss what we're going to discuss. And that'll make a little more sense in just a moment. So let me pray for us. And we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles 12:32. Okay? Father, we thank you for your word. We open it today. But Lord, the body has come together. So that means all of us have something to offer. Father, we proclaim Jesus as Lord. And so, Father, the Holy Spirit is in us. And Father, the Holy Spirit is moving and working and speaking. And Lord, I pray today the Holy Spirit would enlighten us to your Word. And Lord, the few questions I have up there, Lord, if that's part of your plan, that's fine. But if we need to go somewhere else for your glory and your honor, Lord, you have permission. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse we're going to read today is probably a verse that very few of us read because it's in a list in the Old Testament. And it has a lot of names in this area of the Bible that are not always easy to pronounce. But the verse we're going to look at this morning is 1 Chronicles 12:32. And this verse has always intrigued me because of what it says in it. Not because of what they're doing, but because of what it says in it. If you notice the title of today's time together, I called it The Times We Live In. And that picture up there that Forrest was referencing, basically, to just be blunt honest with you, it's a message to us in the church. Instead of having a video or something, it's kind of the way I feel about myself sometimes. It's kind of the way I feel about the church at large in America, the Christians and the body of Christ, that we kind of go around many times throughout the day with our head stuck in the sand. And I'm just going to be blunt honest with you, since we're all adults. There was another visual image that I have in my mind that represents it better, but I thought it would probably be pushing the limits of where sometimes I think our head is. Okay? And John and I discussed it, and we agreed that you probably wouldn't like that image very much. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, see me later, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Okay? This verse that we're going to read about today, let me tell you what's going on in this verse. David has not yet established himself on the throne of Israel. Samuel has anointed him to be king, but David is still in the process of running from Saul. But as he is running from Saul, the tribes of Israel recognize and know that David is to be king. And they begin to recognize his leadership. And this list through the 1 Chronicles 12 is about groups of men coming from different tribes in Israel who gather themselves to basically form an army for King David. But we come to this one that says something that's different. There's one little phrase in this verse that's different than the rest of the list. The whole verse says, 1 Chronicles 12:32, from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. The verse is talking about the men of Issachar understood what was going on, and they gathered 200 chiefs and then all the people they represented to say, "We're with you, David. We're with you. We understand that God's doing something in your life for the nation of Israel." It wasn't just about David being king. It was for the entire nation. And that's the only place in this whole list that phrase understood the times and knew what Israel should do is found in that way. And this verse for years has always intrigued me. What did the men of Issachar understand that seemed to be so to the point that they actually had to write it in Scripture? Remember, nothing in Scripture is there by accident. Someone felt led by the Holy Spirit that it was important that we knew the men of Issachar understood the times. So this morning as we look at that verse, you've got my title, The Times We Live In. You've got my little message there in the visual. And you've got that verse. And our first question is this. What do you believe the men of Issachar understand? What did the men of Issachar understand about the times? I want us to share that to begin with this morning. What do you think they understood about those times back then that they decided action was required? Yeah, big change was coming. It's hard for us to grasp. We, We understand our political system, change happens when we get new politicians in office, but it is far different than what happened when new kings came into being. Basically, the old regime wasn't just kicked out, they were taken out. Okay? So yeah. What else do you think they understood about the times that were before them? Yeah, the enemy was still pressing upon them. Yeah, they may have not known everything about David, but they had seen the leadership of Saul. So you're saying you believe they understood that God was establishing the nation of Israel and doing that through King David becoming king? And they, all right. I really like what some of you guys are saying, particularly because of my next question or one after that. I really don't remember them, but I think using a summer camp analogy, and those that were there, I think, would agree, is this, there's a lot of things that happen at summer camp. It's not planned because it's not spoken. We allow the Spirit of God to get us at least on the same page, and therefore use the different gifts and talents that we have to move forward and see what God does in that group, that little bit of time. And I think with all these tribes, that they understood that the Spirit of God was doing something, but He was doing something in them. It wasn't just through King David. It had to be something in them before it could be something through them. And that's a good point, Jason, about the numbers, because don't know how many people from Issachar actually joined in, but the leaders got it. The 200 chiefs understood, hey, we got to mobilize and get in on this. Anything else about the men of Issachar understanding about those times? Tomorrow never comes? What is that silly little saying that you see about procrastination? Something about procrastinating, I'll get around it to tomorrow. Procrastinators Anonymous have little sayings that they make fun of their own little hang-ups and stuff, but tomorrow never gets here. All right, John, what's the next one? Was the understanding of the times through spiritual eyes, their own flesh eyes, or both? How so? If it was both, how so? I think about Tim being here a few minutes ago. We sit here and we pray for our soldiers from here and from our homes and from Savannah, but Tim gets to see it up close and personal. He gets to see the anguish. He gets to experience the loneliness, the isolation. And therefore, he gets to see it both spiritually. He gets to feel it spiritually and see it. But I believe there's a point in time as you move closer and you press in to take hold of what God's doing, that regardless if you're on the ground right there, that you can move to a point where you can feel the weight of the situation. I don't exactly know how physically close the men of Issachar were located to all the battles that were going on. But I believe there was a weight upon them that maybe they understood or didn't understand, but they understood that it was going to take them laying their eyes on it to engage in it. That they were not going to be able to stand off into the distance and talk about it. That it was going to require up close and personal conflict, so to speak, to do what God was asking of them to do. That's what I'm seeing. Understanding of the times, the men of Issachar, spiritual eyes, their own eyes, some both. I want to point out something to you here before we go to the next question. John, you go ahead and put the next question up so they can be looking at it. Is this. Jason made an interesting point back at the beginning of that list, First Chronicles, it talks about all the things that the army, the soldiers could do. And the reason why I find that an interesting point is those men learned how to do something they probably didn't understand what it was going to be used for one day. And how often do we say, we use the word experiences, and that's good, and I'm for it, and that's cool. But there are things that God has taught you and is teaching you that's a very physical, hands-on thing that you may not understand right now. And you maybe have an opportunity to use it right now, but you also may have the opportunity to use it in the future. I mean, it would be pretty cool. I think Bobby's the only one here that I know that actually can shoot a bow and arrow with reasonable accuracy. But can you shoot it with both hands, Bobby? Sarah? I thought you could shoot it too. You can't. Sarah's the only one. But can she shoot it with both hands? So just something little that seemed insignificant that they could do things. They were basically ambidextrous. That may, when they were 12 years old, may have seen, well, look what I can do kind of thing with their friends. But God uses that. So how many things in your life have you shoved to the back burner that maybe you have knowledge or experience of, or you have a skill up, and you're kind of wondering, well, that was something I could just say I know or did or understood or understand or can do. But God says, hold on a second. I'm not going to waste anything that you have experienced in life or you have done and so forth. And I just want to challenge you with that this morning from that last question to realize something, that you may have a stockpile, but it is not, if you're being open to what God's doing in your life, I don't think it's going to sit there and rust. I think it's going to sit there, some of it's going to sit there and it's going to grow. And God say, hey, you willing to go where I tell you to go and do what I tell you to do, we're going to pull it out and we're going to use it. And I think that happens more often than we realize it can happen. So often. So I just wanted to pass that thought along to you this morning before we move on to the next thing. Next question is how would Jesus understand the times we are living in today? So let's jump forward. Let's bring Jesus into it. See what we think He would think. How would Jesus understand the times we are living in today? It's kind of like the Bible talks about the consummation of time. Right? I'm going to save my thoughts on those statements until the very last question. So remind me, someone say, hey, you had some thoughts you wanted to share from the Jesus question, okay? All right. What else would Jesus understand about the times we live in today? You say bringing water? Bread and water? What do you mean, Daniel? He served bread and he gave water. I think he understands. I think a couple things about that, Daniel, is one, you know, our entire country is under a shortage of water. Two, did you know our entire country cannot produce enough bread to feed the just thoughts? How would Jesus understand? Anything else on how would Jesus? I agree with all what you guys have said wholeheartedly. John, next one. As Christ followers, what must we do to understand the times that we are living in right now, right here? What's the, it's there. I think somehow or another, tagging off what both of you guys said so far, is finding balance. Something that God's really been speaking to me about personally is finding balance. The balance between doing and being. That's something we talk about. Because God may tell me to go do something, but has He told me to go do it now? Or am I in a prep stage? Am I in an action stage? Am I in a resting stage? And understanding that. And it's something that we say all the time, and I tried to hammer it hard at summer camp, is at the end of the day, do you hear God's voice? Not waiting till the end of the day, but throughout the day, have you heard God speak to you and let Him finish? John, why don't you go ahead and go to the last one? It's not the last one? It might be. Might be now. Is understanding the times more important from a spiritual view or what we can actually see? We'll go ahead and put the last one up there because I can't even remember what it is now. You got me curious. I didn't write it down anywhere. I just gave them to you. So there you got two of them. What happens to us personally, to the church, to our families, etc., when we choose not to understand the times left out to not understand the times? Is understanding the times more important from a spiritual view or what we can actually see? Tagging off what Dusty said. Years ago, I read the Minor Prophets, all those guys who can't pronounce their names hardly and did weird things at the end of the Old Testament. I read that, and I remember reading it kind of thinking, wow, this is a lot of history. Then a few years ago, I decided to read straight through them again. Just read them at face value, just reading what they were talking about. And wow, when I had a better understanding of what was going on with the nation of Israel today and the countries that surround them and our country and the church, a totally different view. totally different. It meant something personal. And I won't elaborate a lot on that to you this morning, but I would challenge you to go to some of those places that maybe you haven't read God's Word and read them through what you feel today and what you understand from where you are today, and let God speak to you today about that. So those two questions, seeing both spiritually and then with our physical eyes. You couldn't hear Russell. He said he was informed one time. He stuck a bobby pin into an outlet when he was young, and he was informed one time. I don't know. That's an Artie question for later. Gwen had hers up first. Don, I got you. Go ahead, Gwen. And His Word talks about Him ordering our steps. Head in the sand. Closing point for you to think about. You've probably already heard God speak to you before you came here this morning. Maybe you didn't know it. Probably heard God speak to you during this time. God will speak during the next service. And He's probably going to speak to us throughout the day. But be honest with yourself. How much responsibility do you take upon yourself to really listening to what God says to you? That's a challenge for all of us. But it cannot be an excuse. We'll give an account for where our heads were. So this morning, today, I would challenge you to say, what have I been doing with what God's been speaking to me about? Is it time to be? Time for action? Time to go home and get some more news? Because it's probably different for all of us, and it'll probably be different for us the rest of the day. But the option that's not on the table from God's perspective is that picture. That's just not an option. And I believe that so often, somehow or another, the church in America has decided that is an option. Kind of like the other day, there's a young lady that's going to be in the Olympics. You will hear her. She is a track star. Her name is Lolo Jones. And they interviewed her about sexual matters. And she says, so when did abstinence become an option? Meaning, she isn't saying, isn't it the only option? But the interview person wanted to make it look like, well, that's your opinion. And she's saying, no, it's the fact. You want to stop, and the rest of the interview you can go read on your own. We look at a lot of things as optional. And I don't believe God's calling some of this stuff optional. And you know that already. You know that. So I challenge us this morning to not allow this to be sown on rocky soil or shallow soil. Let God do some weeding in your life. And let's get busy producing some harvest fruit. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And God, I thank You that's beyond my comprehension to know what all You're doing in even my own life. But God, You just keep working. You just keep speaking. You don't give up. You never tire. You're not anxious. And Lord, it amazes me because it's all through Your love. And so God, I believe I need to see the times through Your love. And I pray that for us as Your church. Father, help us to see it through the eyes of a loving, caring Heavenly Father, built through relationship with our Lord and Savior, guided by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.